it Monday already?
Is it really?
Yes, I suppose it is. Oh, yeah, that means we got to get a whole new week started here on the broadcast, starting over from scratch, as it were. Well, not really, because you're already here, and I'm already here, and we've been here for a long time. But still in all, a whole new week on the broadcast, and almost a whole new month. We have September starting tomorrow. You believe this? We are one day away from September 2009. I'm still trying to get used to grunge. You know, I what does that mean? I'm like 18 years back, something along those lines. So anyway, new week on the broadcast. Lots of fun to be had this hour of the program because, and I don't know why we haven't been using this all along. Well, she sneaks about the world. This was my kids' favorite show when they were little tiny. And, you know, I don't know why using the Carmen Sandiego theme never ever occurred to me until just now for Josh Sullivan, World Traveler, but it didn't. So here we are, and it's a new month, and so another conversation with Josh Sullivan, he of joshcomics.com and the whole 52 Friends effort to go around the country and essentially sponge off of people, really is what it comes down to. How are you, Josh?
Hi, John. It's good to talk to you.
It's great to have you back on the program. So we should start by explaining this because it's been a little while since we last spoke. So what are you doing again?
All right. So I'm doing this weird, crazy project called 52 Friends where essentially each week I am in a different city with a different friend or a friend of a friend or a complete stranger who eventually becomes my friend.
Somebody who allows you to use their couch.
Yeah, pretty much. So now it's week 35, and I've gone 14,000 miles so far.
This is unbelievable. And week 35, this all started back in the first week of January, and you're hoping to get back by the end of December back home to Central Florida.
Yep, I'm slowly working my way back down to St. Petersburg, Florida, and come January 1st, that's where I'll be again. After a year of zigzagging around the country.
14,000 miles under your belt so far. So bring us up to speed. Where are you now?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in the neighborhood of Greenpoint, and I'm about two blocks from the East River. So if I go upstairs into the apartment, I have a pretty decent view of Manhattan.
Yeah, well, a pretty decent view of Manhattan, to be sure, and some incredible pictures, because you've been doing a photo blog and blogging all of the entire trip, and I saw a picture that you took of the East River and Manhattan and the Brooklyn Bridge and all of this stuff, and is that your view right now?
The other day I went walking all around Brooklyn. I wanted to go walk up on the Williamsburg Bridge, and that was my view, and I got up there right at the perfect time because it was just before sunset. And it was amazing. I still can't believe the city. This is my first time in New York City, and every single time I look outside and see the people and see the buildings and see the stuff going on, I'm just so amazed at it.
And joshcomics.com, as we mentioned, is the website where people can keep track of the journey and the whole thing. So talk about the comic books for just a minute, because this is something that you were doing before you left.
Yeah, I've been doing comics since I was 13, and ever since the internet blew up, so many people that used to do print stuff, print comics, print zines, a lot of them fell by the wayside because they were able to put it up online and do it for free, and it was so much more convenient. And one of the big things with this project is I wanted to get back into doing more print books. And so for each week of the entire year, I'm doing a separate issue of a zine called 52 Friends also. And it's got comics and interviews and photos and whatever I can cram into it. It's 24 pages each week, so at the end of it, it's going to be 1,248 pages chronicling my whole life of 2009.
Yeah, and like you said, 35 weeks into the thing so far, so how many of the print zines are actually done at this point? You knew I was going to ask you that, because we talk about this every time.
I started working on them again. I finally got issue six done. I'm working on the next batch, which is 7 through 10. And that's my goal, to be done with those by the time I leave New York. And the reason I fell so far behind on it is I just didn't realize how much other stuff would be going on. I'd always imagine that, okay, I'll go out and wander around, take pictures, explore during the day, and then at night I'll work on the books. And by then I'm completely tired or there's something else going on, and I just everything just fell behind. So eventually I'll get them all caught up.
Yeah, you become like Captain Party now, and so there's no time for us who are just, you know, sitting here living vicariously through you. And we should mention, too, that Josh is, have you reached your 28th birthday yet? When is your birthday?
October 13th.
Okay, so we're still about a month away. So you're 27 years old, and this was just kind of your last shot at going around and exploring something like this before it was time to sort of do the make something out of your life routine, right?
Yeah, it was. It kind of hit me because when I decided I wanted to do this, it was last year, so I was 26, and at the age of 26 is when my mom had me, and all of my friends are getting married and having kids. And this was just basically, I wanted to go do this before it was too late. And it's sort of, I sort of tell everybody it's my big project to do before I turn 30.
Well, and you still got a little bit of time before you hit 30. So yeah. Plenty of time to get the whole thing, you know, sort of rounded up into one big package once you get back to Florida. But here's something we haven't talked all that much about. And I mean, we did right at the beginning, but once January 1st hits, and as you get through this, I'm sure time is going faster than you thought it would, yeah?
Oh, it's flying by. I really like what you were saying about it being September tomorrow.
Yeah.
I still can't get over that. I ended up having the most amazing summer of my life, and I can't believe it went by so fast.
So once you get back to Florida in January, what are you going to do?
That's everyone's question. I don't know. Like I got a call a few weeks ago from my old boss at the junkyard I worked at.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I'd love to have you back here when you're done with your trip. He said, call me the day you get back and you can start working the day after. So I have that to fall back on if I want to. But then part of me is thinking, do I want to go back to what I left? Do I want to go back into that same routine? My big goal in life is to try to make a living off my art. So
right.
If I'm doing this trip, I can use that as a springboard to push me into trying to make a living off my art. Or then the other part of me is thinking, it would be amazing to go back to work a regular job and have a regular paycheck and have benefits and, you know, have that there. But I don't know. I'm sort of just basing it on how I feel come December 31st.
Yeah, and after being this close to the edge for this long, yeah, it's like, well, but just to have a, you know, like you said, a regular paycheck and be able to afford ramen noodles would be fun, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah, I'm trying to sell art along the way too, and so that's been fun doing art and trying to get it out there to the masses.
Josh Sullivan is with us. JoshComics.com is the website again if you want to keep track of where he's been and where he's going and all of that. 52 Friends is the name of the effort. So part of the artwork I know has been doing little things like switch plates and things like that. What kind of reception have you gotten on that? Are you still selling those?
Yeah, whenever I get some free time, I always just try to get a bunch of art done. And yesterday I sat down on Manhattan Avenue in Brooklyn and just drew all day and just had art laying out. And I ended up not selling any of it, but it was really cool because there were tons of people walking by and they saw my art and they saw what I was drawing. And for the most part, I've been putting stuff up on Facebook or MySpace and I say, hey, here's a new batch of art. If you're interested in any of it, just let me know. I'll put it on hold. And every once in a while, I'll sell a few things for like $10 or so. And whenever I do, it's such a huge help. Like people don't realize that it's fairly cheap to take a year off of your life and go travel. And really all I'm spending money on is bus tickets and food. And
right.
I keep telling everybody this on the trip too, is that I'm going to be spending less traveling all over the country for the whole year than I would have if I just stayed home and paid rent.
Which is really the funny part. You know, you tell that to too many people, and all of a sudden, you're going to be like the Forrest Gump of this. You know, people are going to be following your example, and all of a sudden, you'll be like the king of taking a year off. So there are worse things. Still in all, though, and I've kidded you about this a couple of times, but, you know, with the success of Julie and Julia up at the movies. Did you go see the movie, by the way?
No, the last movie I saw at a theater was the new Harry Potter up in Maine, and it was cool because all the movies at this movie theater were only $5. And the movie theater I went to, by the way, was named after a racehorse.
Very nice. And why wouldn't it be? But yeah, I mean, you know, the story of this is that it was based on a blog, and then they made her blog into a movie. So, you know, that's got to be somewhere in the back of your mind. So the big question is, when they make the movie, Josh, who plays me?
Don't you want to play yourself?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That would probably be the easiest route to go. But I was thinking maybe, you know, Brad Pitt or somebody like that because, you know, we could be brothers.
I've been so busy with everything. So many other things I haven't thought of. And I definitely want to write a real book at the end of this because there's so much more material that I'm gathering along the way that I'm just not really using. I'm not putting online or I'm not putting in the zines.
Right.
And eventually when I'm done with this, there's just going to be so many extra pages of stuff. So hopefully I get to write a book.
Oh, absolutely. Well, hang on and we haven't even talked about much of your travels this time around yet. So hang on and we'll do that. And lots more conversation with Josh Sullivan coming up. And again, joshcomics.com is where you find him on the net and you can see where he's gone. It all started in Florida back in January. Then immediately out to the West Coast and kind of been meandering across and working his way back toward home. New York City now, and we'll find out where he's been since Maine, because I believe that was where we last left him. He was either in Maine or on his way there, and so we'll talk about the travels and the different things that he's seen. And this time around, we have the opportunity, because we have a little bit of extra time, to let you in on this as well. So if you've been listening in when Josh has joined us before, and if there's anything you want to ask him about his travels or about any of that, then you can feel free to join us as well at 866-962-4566, and we'll let you have at him and find out what it's really like on the road as we continue on through this Monday morning. John Grayson here with you. It is early on a Monday, and you're on Overnight America.
More entertaining than a late-night TV infomercial, this is Overnight America with John Grayson.
Past the hour. Overnight America continues. John Grayson with you. And with us, Josh Sullivan of the 52 Friends effort and online at joshcomics.com. And you can get links, by the way, on joshcomics.com to the MySpace page and the Facebook page and all of that we've been talking about. So if you're curious about the venture, that's where you can do it. And you can see pictures of all of the places that Josh has traveled to and read a little bit about each stop along the way. And where were we? So when last we left you, you had spent some time, I think, in Vermont and then in Maine, yes?
Yeah, the last time I talked to you, I had just gotten into Maine, like that night. And I get there, and I get off the bus. I'm staying with a guy I'd never met before, and he's the same age as me, and he had heard me heard about the trip somehow, or heard me on the radio or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He just emailed me, and he's like, hey, what you're doing is really cool. I want to do that someday. And I found out he lived in Maine, and I wrote back, and I said, hey, hopefully I'm coming to Maine. I'd love to meet up with you and talk to you about things if you're up for it.
Yeah.
And he wrote me back, and he said, hey, come stay with me. So anyway, so I turns out he lives at the very top of Maine in Presque Isle. And I get off the bus, and I'm just standing there at this gas station, and this girl comes over to me, and she says, hey, are you Josh? I'm like, yeah, hey, how's it going? And she says, hey, I'm Tyler's girlfriend. Tyler's in the hospital. His appendix burst. So.
Wow. Okay. So all of a sudden, your place to stay is a little tenuous.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God. I was like, is he all right? You know. She said, yeah, he'll be all right. I can take you to the hospital and you can go talk to him, or I can take you to his apartment. And so I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to be in this guy's apartment that I don't know for the whole week. But this is really cool. He's going to let me stay there. So when I last talked to you, I was in his apartment, and I hadn't even met him yet. And then right after I got the phone with you, he shows up, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And he goes, he's like, I guess my appendix didn't burst. They said it was something else, acid reflux or something. So anyway, so he shows up and he's so cool. He took me around. We went fishing. He lived about 10-15 miles from the Canadian border.
Okay.
So my last day in Maine, I decided I was going to ride his bike there. I said, hey, can I borrow your bike? He's like, yeah, go for it. So in total, I went about 22 miles from the border and back on what happened to be the hottest day that I was there, and there's lots of hills, and I'm out of shape.
I can't believe that with all the walking you've been doing.
So And so I was so tired, and I get to the border, and I don't have my passport, and the Border Patrol guy is standing there, and I go, all right, I just rode all this way. Is it all right if I just stand here for a little bit and take pictures? And he's like, yeah, go for it. So I stood there, and then I realized I was right on the cusp of the Eastern time zone and the Atlantic time zone.
Right.
So it was really cool. I called my mom and left her message, and I'm like, hey, Mom, I'm calling you an hour into the future. And I was standing right next to the sign that said entering Eastern time zone. And, yeah, Maine, I was so happy that I got to go there. And I was just blown away that I got to go all the way to the top of Maine and spend a week there in July.
Yeah, well, see, and now all of the times that I've been near the border, usually, you know, especially near the Canadian border, it was in my hometown. It was in Buffalo and then going across the Niagara River up into Canada. But that's a big deal. I mean, the Peace Bridge is this huge thing, and all of the border crossings are these, you know, sort of well-guarded things. But I've heard that some of the rural ones, like in northern Maine and in Vermont and all of that, it's kind of a non-issue. I mean, there's a border guard there, but it's not that well guarded.
One guy, and I had heard, I'm not sure on this, but I had heard that was actually the border where some of the 9/11 checkers had come over from.
Oh, really?
And yeah, there was just one guy standing there. He was, he looked pretty bored. There wasn't too much traffic, and I was just thankful that he let me stand there and get some pictures and, look into, take my camera and look into Canada and say, take a picture of the sign that said, welcome to Canada. And it's very strange. It's like a completely different world all the way up there. And it felt a lot like when I was up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Yeah.
You feel so far apart from the rest of the U.S. when you're that far north.
Well, I'm sure the Upers would be happy to hear you say that. So, well, that's good news.
I love the UP, by the way.
what do you do there? I mean, what's in Presque Isle for folks who are looking for the triptych?
I went to the movie theater there, and after realizing it was I saw the name, it was the Braden Theater, so I went and looked at it, and there's a plaque there, and all of a sudden you look at it, and there's a horse on it. I'm like, what is that for? And it turns out it was named after this famous racehorse that was real famous in the northern Maine and into Canada. And so the racehorse's name was John R. Braden, so they named this theater after him in the 40s. I also got to go up to Caribou and New Sweden, Maine, where right by New Sweden is Sweden, Maine, and Stockholm, Maine, and tons of Swedish settlers founded all these small towns up that way. And so just a lot of Swedish stuff, Swedish history around that area.
That's very cool. And I know that part of this has been, we've been talking about the fact that the economy is so bad and people aren't going out and doing things that are expensive because nobody's got any money. And most of the stuff that you've been doing is free. I mean, you got to pay to go into the movies, obviously, but there's a ton of stuff that you just walk around and there's free things to do everywhere. So what did you find in Maine?
After my friend had took me fishing, he goes, hey, you want to go see the replica of this hot air balloon. It was a miniature version of this hot air balloon that was, it turns out that Presque Isle was the launching point of the first successful transatlantic balloon ride. And so we go there, and there's just this weird metal balloon sitting in the middle of nowhere in this weird field. And so he showed me that, and then there's this giant wind turbine there that the University of Maine Presque Isle built to fully sustain themselves. So he said they built it for $2 million, and that's where they get all their electricity from. It's such a huge feature in town. You see it no matter where you're at, and I think it was only like 12,000 people in the town.
That's you. Yeah, but again, you find in towns that are that size the fact that just about everybody there is proud of what they have, so they're willing to show you around and show you every bit of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Everybody I was talking to around there was amazing. And I hung out at the library there a lot. And it was, I looked at one of the signs there for the library when it was first built. And I go, wow, this looks like the same library that was built in St. Pete and back home in Florida. And it turns out it was one of the Carnegie-built libraries. And and I go there and I'm talking to the librarians and they're like, hey, this is really, I was telling them what I was doing. And I said, hey, do you mind if I just hang out here for a while? I got some stuff I have to do. I'm working on this trip. They're like, yeah, no problem. Just hang out, do whatever.
That's great. Well, hang on and you can tell us more about it just ahead. Josh Sullivan is with us. And again, you can find him online at joshcomics.com. We'll do some more talking just ahead about the trip on Overnight America. The hour. Overnight America continues. John Grayson with you on an early Monday morning, and Josh Sullivan online with us as we check in with him every month or so as his journey across these great United States of ours continues toward week number 52. We're on week 35 right now, headed out of August and into September. And Josh is in New York City. But Josh, we left you in Maine. So where'd you go from there?
I took a bus from Presque Isle, Maine, down to Barnstable, Massachusetts, out on Cape Cod, and that was amazing. I had such a blast in Massachusetts because the people I was staying with, they're really awesome, and they took me all over the place in Massachusetts. I was all the way out to the tip of Cape Cod and Provincetown, and then I was in Boston a few times, and then I ended up getting to appear at a comic show in Westford, Massachusetts. And, I had such a great time that week.
Wait, the comic show, what did you do?
The guy I was staying with, the couple I was staying with, they have a small press comic publishing company.
Oh, perfect.
So they appear at different comic shows and conventions around, and it just so happened that one of the shows was going to be during the week that I was there. So they had asked if I could appear too, and so I set up my stuff at the table, and we drove out there. It was about an hour west of Boston in Westford, and it was so weird because I'm sitting there, I'm drawing, I just come out with one of the new issues of the zine, and I see this guy with the shirt of a band that I like, and I'll go, hey, cool shirt, and he looks up at me, and he's like, aren't you in Can't Do It? And that was the band I was in.
Yeah.
In Florida, and I'm like, yeah, how do you know? And he's like, I saw you guys' last show back in October in St. Pete.
And he's that's like, funny. What are the odds?
Yeah, like, you know, in the middle of Massachusetts, like, basically, it was getting up near New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And this guy recognized me, and I was like, oh, my God. And so we ended up talking about the band and talking about my trip, and I gave him an issue of the zine. I was like, that is so cool. It's so weird and random. And so I ended up calling our drummer and leaving him a message, and I was like, Andy, you're not going to believe this. Like, someone that likes our band, I just ran into him in Massachusetts.
Yeah, what a small world. So what was the band that was on his T-shirt?
It was an Operation Ivy shirt.
Okay, I'm not familiar with them. What kind of stuff do they do?
They were one of the big purveyors of punk ska, and then from Op Ivy formed a couple of the guys from Operation Ivy formed Rancid.
Oh, Rancid, I know. Okay, sure. Absolutely. All right, so you did the comic show, and what else went on? You mentioned going out to Cape Cod and Provincetown and all of that. Just nonstop party? What happened?
Yeah, that whole week. When I got there, they had asked me, they said, hey, is there anything you want to do, anything specific? And I said, there's whatever happens, I'm up for doing anything, but... And then, like, they, you know, their eyes raised, and I go, but I know you guys live near the Edward Gorey House, and I would love to go to the Edward Gorey House. And Edward Gorey is one of my favorite artists and writers, and he did so much different weird stuff, weird horror stuff. He did the art for the animation at the beginning of Mystery on PBS.
Oh, yeah.
And I found out they lived there. So the day after I got there, we all went, and it was amazing. I'm thinking, how often is it that you get to be in the house of one of your favorite artists and writers? And he passed away in 2000, and I think in 2002 they opened up his house as a museum. So tons of his art, tons of memorabilia. They got tons of weird artifacts of his, like rings and a fur coat and all this stuff. And I was just beaming. I was just so excited. And so that was in Yarmouth Port, Massachusetts.
Beautiful. And again, you can find more information on the trip online at joshcomics.com. And Josh Sullivan is with us, going around the country. 52 friends, one a week for 52 weeks. And now, again, back to the free stuff in Massachusetts, just kind of walking around on the street. What were the points of interest and what were the places where you enjoyed just getting out and wandering most?
Oh, Boston. The people I was staying with, they had to go into Boston a couple times.
Yeah.
And they asked, they said, hey, do you want to ride with us and just wander around? I go, absolutely. Like wandering around is my favorite thing on this trip. And basically I'm getting to see all this really amazing stuff. And like you were saying, like for free, I'm walking around, I'm seeing this stuff. I'm getting to take photos of all these different things. So walking around Boston was really cool. And I had met this really cool girl on the bus ride up to Maine and leaving from Boston. So I had her number and I got to Boston and walked around and I said, hey, you want to meet up? So we ended up meeting up and hanging out, and she was telling me all the different things I should go check out. And it was cool. It's so weird being able to meet all these new people and then end up connecting with them at a later point. Cause I think that was about 2 weeks after I had first met her.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, how's the trip going? You know? And then she was really interested in hearing what had happened since I had first met her.
Now, what about the, I can imagine that, keeping track of all of these people, obviously a lot easier now because of the internet, but, what about making, you know, romantic connections, any of that going on? And you, you know, keeping some numbers in the black book until you get back to Florida?
I don't know. There's some points of the trip where I just feel so lonely because it's every week I'm hopping to another place. There's not enough time to make that true deep connection, and there hasn't been a point where it's been love at first sight. And hopefully something happens. A lot of people keep saying I'm going to fall in love on this trip.
Yeah.
And who knows? And then the other thing is I always tell everybody is they keep saying that I'm going to just find some place, find a city that I don't want to leave. And so they're like, you're probably not coming back.
I do. See, and that's where I was going just a minute, but I'll go ahead and jump there now. Are there places where even now, you know, 35 weeks into the trip, and you're obviously looking forward to going to the next place and all of this, but are there places that, you know, when you're just falling asleep at night that you go, man, I wish I could go back there. I wish I could spend just a little bit more time where?
Oh, geez. Oh, man. I think about it all the time. I think about, like all this really amazing stuff happens every week, and I'm constantly thinking about it. And I had an amazing time in Chicago. I really got to explore a lot there and make some really good connections there with people and just go see stuff. And I loved it. And I really love New York City. This being my first time here, you know, I'm everything is new to me, but I really, really love it. I had no idea I was going to love the hustle and bustle and all the people and all the commotion and all the noise, and I really, really like it. But then on the other side of things, I really like some of the smaller towns, and I could really, any of these places I've been going, I could see myself living, which doesn't narrow things down, but really my two favorite places so far on the trip have been Chicago and New York.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it may not narrow things down, but it does tell you a little bit of something, which is just that you could essentially live wherever you want to live. If it does catch your fancy, you could be happy. Yeah.
I had no idea about myself, that I would be happy wherever and be able to adapt to anything. And pretty much I got to adapt to something new every week. So, yeah, I can really live wherever I want.
That's great. Well, hang on for us one more time, Josh, and we'll do some more talking just ahead, and we're going to turn to the phones as well. And so you've heard what we've been talking about, and if you've heard us talk to Josh before, or if this is your first time hearing him, and you've got a question of your own, or you want to just say hey and wish him luck on the trip, grab a telephone line, and you can do some talking to him as well. 866-962-4566 will get you in here, and we'll wrap the conversation in just a little bit, and your phone calls are part of it as well. John Grayson here with you early morning on a Monday, and you're on Overnight America.
He's a cab driver's best friend.
You talking to me?
This is Overnight America with John Grayson.
The hour. Overnight America. John Grayson here with you early on a Monday morning, and Josh Sullivan with us, as he is, every so often, whenever we catch up with him, about once a month on this trip of 52 friends, staying with one person a week for 52 weeks in a row, and working his way back to Florida, where home is, in St. Petersburg. And before we get back to our conversation, as I said, we're going to turn the phone over to you, and Max is in Minnesota listening in on WCCO this morning. Hey, Max, how are you?
Morning, Mr. Grayson.
Morning, sir. Say
morning,
hi to Josh.
Hey.
It's Josh, I know you got like a gazillion people contacting you, but I sent you a couple emails, one about my canoe trip down to Mississippi.
Yes, I remember that.
I've always been surprised how good you were about returning the emails, considering how many people are trying to keep in touch with you.
It hasn't always been that case. That's one of the things I've learned on this trip is to get back with people right away, because I've been absolutely terrible with email in the past.
Well, that hasn't been my experience. Before my question for Josh, I was wondering if I could ask you a question, Mr. Grayson.
Absolutely. What do you got?
A couple times while interviewing Josh, you've asked him about potential romantic hookups on this trip.
Yeah.
And it's been my observation that he, without answering the question one way or the other, he was quite adept at kind of deflecting the question. And I'm just asking you, Mr. Grayson, if your experience in life has been that sometimes the people that feel the least need to brag about their conquests sometimes the ones that might be doing the best?
Oh, I think, well, yeah, that's the easy question, absolutely. And I thought you were going to ask me if I was romantically interested in him, because in that case, I'd have to say no. But
well, I guess I'm relieved?
Yeah, there you go. All right. So either way, yeah, like I said, I have no idea, because he hasn't given me any inside information on that at all. But I would have to agree that that's probably the case. So anyway, you had a question for Josh as well.
My question for you, Josh, is, you know, I was never a big traveling guy till I went on this canoe trip and kind of got a taste for how fun it was for meeting people. And on my canoe trip was when I kind of planned my first hitchhiking through Europe trip. So I'm wondering if this experience has bitten you with the wanderlust. If you've got another adventure planned, what's in the back of your mind? Because it's got to be bigger and better, I would think.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I think about it all the time. I think about when I'm done with this, that I'm going to be so restless. And so many people, they keep saying, well, why don't you just, you know, do another year of it? Go to Europe. Go to Canada. Go wherever. And I thought about this a few weeks ago. I thought before this trip, I never wanted to go anywhere. I never wanted to do anything or see anybody or get out. But now, because of this trip, I want to go everywhere. I want to see everything. And it's amazing that I feel that way now, because I was such a hermit before I left. I could think of like a year ago when I was – a year ago tomorrow is when I started promoting that I was going to do this.
Yeah.
And – I couldn't imagine the response I would get right away from it. And so all these people just came out of the woodwork saying, hey, yeah, come stay with me.
That's great.
And starting at that point, that was like, wow, maybe I can pull this off. And now 35 weeks into it, I'm like, wow, maybe I can go the whole year. This is kind of crazy.
Well, and as far as Europe is concerned, you said, you know, this is all to get out of the way before you're 30. You still got two more years before you hit that mark, so it's not out of the question. We I want to get to New York, though, because I know you've been there for a little while, and we've got about 3 minutes left to go in the hour. So sum up New York City for us in 3 minutes or less.
I went walking one day, wandering, and all of a sudden I ended up walking 18 miles around New York City.
Yeah.
In the 93-degree heat. I got to see everything I wanted to that one day. I got to see, I got to stand next to the Empire State Building. I got to see the Chrysler Building and Times Square and all that. But I had absolutely no idea where anything was. I didn't have a map with me. I just wanted to wander. All of a sudden, I come across cranes and parts of a building going up, and you just knew that that's where the World Trade Center was.
Yeah.
And coming across that, I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, you start feeling different. You're like, wow, this is where all of this happened. And I couldn't believe it. And it was that whole day. It goes back to what you're saying before. That whole day of walking around for 18 miles, I didn't spend a dime. I got to see New York on $0.
Yeah, right, because what do you need to spend money on? Nothing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's beautiful. So where do you head from here?
I'm hopping on a bus going from New York to Washington, D.C.
And that happens at the end of this week?
Next Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
What ended up happening is I have a house-sitting gig in Manhattan starting tomorrow on the Lower East Side. So I'm going to go explore more and work on zines and do art. So after the end of that, then I'm hopping down to D.C.
All right, good man. Well, listen, have a good time in the nation's capital, and we'll continue to keep track of you. We'll probably catch up with you at the end of September, beginning of October, which, of course, will be far quicker than either one of us will believe. But in the meantime, we're going to send folks to the website, joshcomics.com, and you can get to all of the other pages, the MySpace, the Facebook, and all of that good stuff through joshcomics.com. And Josh, always a pleasure, man. Have a good time and stay safe on the trip.
Thank you. Thank you so much, John, for having me.
You got it. There is more to come as an early Monday morning continues, and you're on Overnight America.
Think of it as a late-night snack for your brain. This is Overnight America with John Grayson.